and welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Thanks for joining me today. Before we begin, make sure that you understand discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Indices that I may mention are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly in past performances. Of course, no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risk, of course. And finally, the views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. Money Matters is about money, as money does matter, and matters money affects us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. Money Matters is about your money, your lack of it or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. Welcome to show 325. 325. 325 hour shows. Wow. Seems like a long time ago, but this is a condensed version, the COVID condensed version. We used to be on, it's been so long, I almost forgot. First and third Tuesdays, was it? I think it was. At noon. But Governor Gavin Newsom of California takes the noon spot, so we move this till Thursday, right around 6:30 when we air the evening news. Of course, if you're listening to this on some of the other 60 or so radio stations that carry Money Matters, you may be hearing it at a different time, and it may not be live. Never quite know when they air those things. But right now, we have a 29-minute version. And with the vaccines, you know, it's hopeful that everybody will get back in the studios. The number two most infectious disease job is radio, because we have 160 broadcasters and we're all using the same mic and touching the same board. So I read that somewhere years ago. More applicable now during COVID, right? But we're very, very careful. And these particular shows you're hearing now are all pre-recorded. So, 325. It's entitled, And Trillions More. If you want to hear past shows, the website, which is free, Agrata, it's our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station, is moneymanagementradio.com. Shows are posted up there as well. You can listen to past shows, etc. So, And Trillions More. Well, President Biden, on Wednesday of last week, unveiled a sprawling, ambitious infrastructure proposal that, if enacted, would overhaul how we get from point A to point B. It would overhaul the speed of the internet, some of the connections, quality of water, and physical makeup of our kids' schools. The measure, called American Jobs Plan, at least it was a couple days ago, includes big infrastructure fixes that both major parties, as well as a majority of Americans, consistently say they want to see. That from CNBC. It includes upgrades to bridges, broadband, and buildings. The $2 trillion proposal includes $115 billion to repair and rebuild bridges, highways, and roads. Seems to me we've done that. How many times have we done that now? The infrastructure rebuilds? I guess there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be rebuilt, right? More money, okay. $100 billion to expand high-speed broadband across the entire country. My opinion is that is the business of the broadband people. The government should not be paying for that. You know, there's money in that. We pay to expand the broadband coverage, and then the private corporations make money off that. So those of you that are anti-corporation, or those of you that are free market supporters, so they're basically both sides of the aisle, should probably, in my opinion, be against this. Why should we pay to have broadband expanded when we have companies that are going to make profit on the expansion? So similar to during 08 and 09, the government gave General Motors and some other car companies, you know, tens of billions of dollars to develop electric cars. Well, that's their job. So, you know, and they're going to make money off of selling the electric cars. So why are we paying for it out of tax dollars? It doesn't really make any sense to me, but $100 billion for that. Another $100 billion to upgrade and build new schools. I guess the typical question would be, what happened to the lottery money for all those that are old enough to remember when we voted on the lottery? they said that we would no longer need school money because the lottery would provide billions of dollars. Well, seems like every tax referendum I see in the local county or the state or now government seems to go rebuilding schools. So I'm kind of wondering who's administering all that money. I've always said that if you can't make money, if you can't make do with the money we give you, then get somebody in there that can. And of course, $100 billion to expand and improve power lines and a spur to shift to clean energy. Well, I guess there's some that support that and some that do not. Okay. Embedded in this plan for the new energy is to build out U.S. clean energy infrastructure. And that would be a very ambitious initiative because they're after to lower greenhouse gas emissions along with to address some monies for racial inequality and advance the U.S. economy to compete with China. I would say if they want to do that, they should lower taxes, and then we'll be able to compete a little bit more. That's, of course, if the measures is signed into law. Democrats, at this time, have a slim House majority and control of the Senate, only because Vice President Harris, as you know, has a tie-breaking vote whenever there's a tie, and there is, usually. Republicans are concerned about the cost and the corporate tax hikes. Democrats are going to fight the other way. So we will see what happens. And more on that plan, I did read an update just this morning on this. $2 trillion still. $2 trillion still. They're going to want to raise the corporate tax rate to 28% from 21%. And new numbers just came out this morning. $621 billion into transportation infrastructure and electric car development. And you know how I feel about that. Direct $400 billion to care for elderly and disabled Americans. Yeah, I'm for that, for sure. Inject more than $300 billion to improve drinking water infrastructure. Expand broadband, as we talked about before, and upgrading electrical grids. $300 billion into building and retrofitting affordable housing, along with constructing and upgrading schools. So it looks like affordable housing was added to that. And $580 billion in American manufacturing research and development and job training efforts. That sounds like a corporate bailout to me. There's some talk there's some Democrats that want to urge Biden to put reoccurring stimulus checks, unemployment extensions in the recovery plan. So even more. So we'll see how that goes. So it seems like just more and more money being tossed around. And the claim is that the White House plans to fund this huge $2 trillion spending project by raising corporate taxes, like I mentioned, from 21% to 28%. So taxes may go up for some of you, or maybe for all of you. I don't know. The hopes is that the package will create manufacturing jobs and rescue failing American infrastructure as a country tries to reemerge from COVID-19. So there is definitely a lot of money being thrown around for sure. The damage from COVID-19, I can't really imagine the damage. But I can tell you, whatever damage we think there's going to be a lot more, in my opinion. The damage from COVID-19 is, in economic terms, and in human lives and sicknesses, is tragic. The economic devastation foisted upon the world's economies. Is it foisted or hoisted? I don't know. It's unprecedented, the damage that the COVID-19 virus has caused to human suffering, but the shutdowns has caused its own human suffering. And it's no secret that I have been against the shutdowns from the onset of the virus and have written such in numerous articles and have done a lot of radio shows on it. I was against the shutdowns from the beginning. Now, my standpoint to be against the shutdowns was not based on the use of masks or how deadly the virus is or was. In fact, I stand more in line with majority of people on these two points. I'm a masker. I'm not a virulent masker, if that's a correct word, pun intended. But I'm a masker. If somebody comes to the house and they don't want to wear a mask, it's okay. If they want to wear a mask, it's okay. But basically, I stand in line with most of the people and will mask up anytime it is required. It's just the way I feel about it. And I've always said, just because I wear a mask doesn't mean I'm on the next train to Auschwitz, okay? Is it a test to test how willingness I will comply? Well, wearing a mask is not a big deal to me, but there are many that won't, and I respect that as well. This is a contentious argument, the mask argument. But truthfully, I see the people that don't want to wear a mask at all. They have loads of scientific backing. And then I see the scientific backing for masks. So I don't care what anybody says. As far as I am concerned, there is scientific proof on both sides for masking and not masking, okay? I know the maskers will go crazy about that, and so will the anti-maskers, but I'm just telling you, both sides have scientific backing. So, like I've always said, I can show you 100 articles that'll show you the market's going to go to 40,000, and I could show you 100 more articles that'll tell you the market's going to crash to zero. So, don't tell me there's medical proof on either side, because both sides have medical proof. Now, my support of not shutting down. First of all, it's impossible to go back in time and try the other way, okay? We've done the mask and the shutdown thing. The mask thing I have no problem with. Shutdowns I do. But we can't go back in time and say, let's do over and not shut down and see what happens, okay? We can only look at countries that have done that and not done that. My support of shutting down the economy was based on the realization that much more damage, not just economically, this is not about dollars, but in the human toll, many more people will die, in my opinion, because of the shutdowns. Now, where do I arrive at that? This statement that I just made will undoubtedly get me a lot of emails. But you know, one of the articles that I just ran across, I've run across a lot. And I have my own theories about the shutdowns, and we'll talk about those. But I just ran across an article from Scott W. Atlas, Doctor. Okay, he's a doctor. He's got a resume that is longer than my arm. Some of the top honors, and there are many. He's a senior fellow at the Hoover Institute at Stanford University. Okay, that is not Mickey Mouse Tech, Stanford. He's chief professor and head of neuroradiology. He's got more. He served as senior healthcare advisor to several presidential candidates, 08, 2012, and 2016, and was a member of the nominating committee for the Nobel Peace Prize in medicine and physiology. This guy is no slouch. Comparing the death and sickness toll of the masses of shutdowns, he does in his article. He lays it out in his article entitled, Science, Politics, and COVID. Will Truth Prevail? February of this year. He said, comparing the death and sickness toll of the massive shutdowns, he lays out his case against shutdowns based on the same criteria that I have spouted off in the last 9 months as well. Mainly that the death toll, forget about the economic numbers, okay? The death toll will be higher because of the shutdowns than the virus would have caused if we had not shut down, okay? He backs up his statement, and I have more economic backup for this particular concept, but he states between 750,000 and 1 million cancer cases have gone undetected due to patients not getting checkups for screening due to COVID fears. I don't want to go to the hospital, okay? I've seen that number before, so he's not the only one to say that a lot of people are not or were not getting checked up for cancer. An unknown number of children will suffer from suicide, depression, drug addiction, gang involvement, domestic violence, poor education, and more from the social isolation of being out of school. I myself know two acquaintances in this town whose teenage kids have committed the horrible act of suicide. The adult domestic violence has skyrocketed as well, as all of us know, that drug abuse, depression, more suicide, and other sicknesses have resulted from this isolation. Child abuse, most often reported from school observation, obviously has gone unattended, or a lot of it has, because they're not going to school, or they weren't. This CDC, the Center for Disease Control, reported a fourfold increase in depression, threefold in anxiety, and twice the number of suicide ideation among young adults. And that will translate into more suicides, those who actually pull the trigger. The National Bureau of Economic Research states a 3% increase in the future mortality rate due to the shutdowns and a 0.5% drop in life expectancy due to unemployment. No doubt, I think everyone would agree, suicides have increased. More marriages will blow apart due to the financial stresses of the shutdown, and subsequent businesses that have been shut down, or the ones that may have been shut down, or might be shut down, or still might be shut down, or just ongoing, just witnessed terrible, terrible financial setback. In the U.S. alone, forecasts from the University of Santa Cruz shows nearly 317,000 businesses closed between February and September. That's about 1,500 a day. More have closed down between September and March, but we don't have those figures. At least I don't yet. Here's where the real damage is as far as death is concerned. Multiple prognostications on skyrocketing starvation has been hitting the news wires for months. Now you realize, in economic times that are good, there are countries where people starve. A lot of people starve. You start to put stress on those economies from the shutdowns worldwide, and more people starve. The prognostications that I've been reading, one is from Arif Hussein. He's chief economist at the World Food Program, part of the United Nations. He says, quote, more than 130 million more could go hungry in 2020. Even more frightening is a statement from David Beasley. He's the executive director of the World Food Program. He warned back in June, we could see 300,000 people die a day for several months if we don't handle this right as a result of the global shutdowns. In conclusion, many argue that the shutdowns and the masks were necessary and may still be. And I'm not here to debate the masks, okay? There is, in my opinion, more than enough proof, more than enough statistics that with shutdowns, the death and sickness will be higher in the end and by a lot. Just look at the people that are starving, that are forecasted to starve because of the economic stress. Now remember, the United States has unemployment guarantees and stimulus checks. A lot of other countries, they don't have anything. I just got back from Mexico, and the guys in Mexico who live there are saying, well, we don't have anything like that. They're just out of work. That's what I'm talking about. People will hear say, well, if we don't shut down, it would have been worse. And the only reason we have spiking cases in California, even though we shut down early, because most people won't wear masks. Well, okay. Don't get on me for not wearing a mask, because I wear one. But I will tell you, we tried the shutdowns. And the reason people are saying, well, we're going to have a lot of sickness because people didn't wear masks. Yes. And you could try it again. But you're never going to get everybody to wear a mask. It's the reality of the situation. You can blame them. Say, well, the people that are not wearing masks are at fault, so we should try it again. But you're still not going to get them to wear it. Even if you put a national mandate, I don't think everybody's going to wear one. It's not going to happen. It's like saying, well, we could eliminate auto crashes all the way to zero if everybody drives 10 miles an hour and wears a seatbelt. We'd probably even have some people get offed with that. Or we could eliminate cancers if we did away with all preservatives and no more cigarettes. But the truth of the matter is you can't. The reality of this is you cannot get people to drive 10 miles an hour. You won't get everybody to quit smoking. And you won't get everybody to wear a mask. That's the reality of it. So you can blame them if you want. But we did that, been there, done that. And so, you know, like I said, I'm a masker. So Don't get on me for not wearing a mask, because I wear one. But I'm just saying, shutdowns just don't make any sense. Remember, the amount of businesses that are shuttered, when this first started, I forecast that 25% of the businesses in the United States will go under. Small businesses. Most of the money of the stimulus plans is a little bit going to you, but a lot of it is going in the financial business, much like it did in 08 and 09, bailing out the system instead of the people that depend on the system. Yeah, you're going to get a $1,400 check, and you got another $1,200 check, but tell me, how many weeks does that really cover you? Now, the unemployment bonuses were healthy, but there's still people that haven't been able to receive them because the unemployment office is run by the government. And like I've always said, that means it's a mess. And it is. It's a mess. It was shut down for a while. They couldn't get their checks. It's a mess. And so in my opinion, you know, you can't, the authorities, the governments talk about doing this and doing that. But they're so big and there's so many of us to help. They never get it done. They never get it right. Just look at the vaccine distribution programs called, I think it was called Warp Speed or something like that. I mean, it was a mess. And so, you know, there are people going to blame the previous administration, and then there are others going to blame the current administration. But the bottom line here is, you know, the nation's done the best it did. Not that it could have been, because we don't know what it could have been. We don't know what the best attempt at addressing this virus could have been. Some people will say the best we could have done is not shut down and wear masks and social distancing and work like hell to get some vaccines. That was my original call, and that is my opinion. But others will say, no, 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 no. We should have made a mask mandate, and we should have shut down everything, and everybody stay home, or whatever degree of shutdown you want to take it. But the truth is, you don't know, and I don't know, and nobody knows. Just how lethal this virus is. Yeah, we see the numbers, but a lot of people saying the numbers are skewed. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know if masks help. We don't know if they don't. Yes, people have medical backing for both sides. And we don't know whether shutdowns have helped or hurt. My opinion is they've hurt, but everybody has an opinion. And you just don't know. We really don't know. I could be completely wrong. But so could the people on the other side of the argument. I've always said, to think that you are not wrong and 100% right is foolhardy. It just doesn't make any sense. You could be wrong in anything you believe, and so could I, because basically we could all be in the Matrix, right? This could all be imagination. We may not even be on this planet. You may be some entity somewhere imagining everything you see. You don't know. You know, what is there a God? Is there life on other planets? You just don't know. I don't know. We don't know. We have an opinion. In my opinion, based on what I know about economies, we should have never shut down. My opinion. And again, my opinion does not reflect, may not reflect those of this station or any media that I broadcast for. But if I was just here to give you news, you could just read that in the paper. Talk show hosts are here to give you opinion, commentary. So that's what I'm doing, giving you opinion and commentary. So we just don't know. All I do know is that, you know, the market, the stock market is, you know, way out of touch with what's going on with this economy. Yeah, we've got stimulus checks. And, you know, albeit, I go out to restaurants and stores and shopping malls, and where's everybody getting the money? I mean, it's got to be from the unemployment. It's got to be from the unemployment bonuses, because I see the malls are jammed. And I mean, it's just, it's insane. You know, we've got 25% of the small businesses in the United States, in my opinion, are going to go under. Get the malls are jammed. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. And the markets at a brand new high. Remember when we went into COVID in March, when it really hit, the Dow was sitting around 29,500. Well, now the Dow is what? Where's the Dow today? I mean, the Dow is sitting at, where is it? 33,108, okay? Okay, it's what? It's 4,000 points higher than where it was. 4,000 points higher in the face of horrible, horrible economic stats and numbers. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people spending money now because they were pent up. But you got to realize you shut down pretty much the whole globe for 9 months. It's just insane. So I don't know why the market's going where it is. Well, actually, I do. And we covered it on the show a while ago. It's the massive amount of money that the feds are throwing into this. It goes somewhere. Money seeks a home. We're not quite sure, because there are a lot of programs the government does that you never even hear about. We think they've dropped about $4 trillion already, okay? And they're going to, the last stimulus plan jacked it up to $6 trillion. And now they're talking about, $8 trillion. That is a third of the GDP, gross domestic product of the United States. A third. They basically added a third of the entire economy in the last 9 months. I mean, the amount of money, folks, I can't even imagine that you can even grasp, nor can I, how much money that is. I mean, just, it's an ungodly sum. I thought 08 and 09 was a lot, but in 08 and 09, they administered the money over a period of a year and a half, 2 years, 2.5, 3 years. When we're talking about all the money in the repo markets and the auction rate security markets and the stock markets and the bailouts and this bailout and this program and that bailout, there was more money flying around everywhere than you can believe. But this time around, within, the first program, stimulus program, I think hit us in June, right? So from June to March, we're only talking about what? 9 months, they've thrown a third of the economy back in. And where did they get the money? They just printed it. That's all they did. You said a lot of people will say, well, I want $2,000 a month until COVID is over. But seriously, consider this. What really is it that they're doing? We have all sorts of economic problems, okay? And people are starving. And what they do is they basically create paper, which is what a dollar is. Now, whether it's digital or not, it still doesn't have any value at all. Okay? Remember, paper currency is a receipt. I give you an apple and you don't have an orange to give me, so you give me a receipt. That is what currency is. So all the government has done is print tons and tons of paper. And somehow that has, many people think, solve the problem. So I ask you, if I just printed tons of paper and dropped them from helicopters consistently for a month, would that solve the problem? Now, something in your brain says no. But yet, that's what we're doing. We're just dropping paper, and we expect that to solve tangible problems. We don't have enough food, so let's create paper, and the paper will create food. You see what I'm saying? So, just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, been a real quick show, 29 minutes, so I'd just like to say thanks for listening. This has been Show 325 and trillions more. The views, opinions expressed are my opinions only and do not necessarily reflect those of any media outlet, this radio station, staff members, or underwriters. This program is not meant as investment advice, and our website is moneymanagerradio.com, where everything is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. My name is Mark Cunaberti. I hold California Insurance License OL34249. I'm a Medicare-approved agent in California, and have a great day. Get back.